This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I'm going to call the meeting to order, and I'd also ask for identification of who's on the line from the Department of Education.
Okay, Terry. For the Department of Education, we have Tammy Darnall, Susan Woodmansey, Bobby Leiferman, and Olivia Wagner. And then Holly Ferris is here as well.
Very good. And so aware that we have people across the state that are encouraged and welcome to listen in on this. I'm ready to move forward with the call for adoption of today's agenda, which should have been in the information that people received.
Pro Fraco, motion.
Storo, second.
Okay. So there is a move and seconded to adopt the agenda. Roll call on approval of that. Jared Larson?
Yes.
Eric Stroder?
Yes.
Susan Profock?
Yes.
Patrick Weber?
Yes.
And I will also say yes, so the agenda has been approved. I'm seeking approval of the minutes from the November 27th, 2017 meeting. I would entertain a motion at this time.
Stroder, I'll move.
And a second, please.
Whoever seconds.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the November 27th, 2017 meeting. Are there any comments before I call for approval of that?
Mr. Board Chair, Jared Larson here. The only item I was going to ask about, I didn't know if in the minutes it specified that this meeting was scheduled for 9:30. I couldn't recall if there was a time stated or not, but I just noted that it did say 9:30 in those minutes and we're meeting at 9. I don't think it's an issue, but I just did want to raise that discrepancy.
Thank you for that. My initial take on that would be that it probably reflects correctly on what the minutes said at that time. Department, do you see it any different than that?
This is Tammy Darnall, and no, the minutes are reflected correctly. The meeting time did get moved to 9.
Perfect. Thank you. Just an item that I noted.
Okay. So I would then call for a roll call vote on approval of those minutes. Patrick?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Susan?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
And I approve. So it passes with the full committee. Item number 4 is a follow-up on the status of the districts that were granted conditional waivers. And I look forward to hearing that. Go ahead, Department.
Good morning, Terry. This is Susan Woodmansey with the Department of Education, and I'm kind of filling in this morning. There were 14 school districts that were granted conditional waivers by the School Finance Accountability Board, and those waivers were supported by the Joint Committee on Appropriations in December. All 14 submitted their documentation by the required deadline date of February 1st. The Department of Education reviewed all their documentation to make sure that it met the requirements of the conditional waiver, and all that documentation has been posted on the School Finance Accountability website under waivers and documentation. I don't have anything more unless someone has questions on that.
Can I assume from your report that the department finds each of them in compliance with the conditions of the waivers?
Yes. The documentation was reviewed by our office, and we did find that they were in compliance. All these school districts have negotiated with their teacher groups to fulfill the requirements of the waiver, conditional waiver. And that new pay information will be reflected on their personnel record form data at the conclusion of this school year.
Thank you. Any comments or questions from the committee? From the board, excuse me.
Mr. Chair, Jared Larson.
Go ahead.
The only comment I would make is I would like to thank those schools for their time and commitment in complying with the conditional waiver and also their understanding as we move through this new process. So thank you to those 14 schools for their work, effort, and time through the accountability review process and then also with their compliance to those conditional waivers. Just like to express a note of gratitude to each one of those 14 schools.
Thank you. Any other board members? Okay, hearing done. I will, on behalf of the board, again thank all of the schools who did comply with the conditional waivers as was documented through the Department of Education. I do not think that it calls for an official action by us, but if it does, I need to be so advised.
This is Tammy, and no, this would be an informational item, so no further action is required.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to item number 5, which is the future teacher compensation accountability requirements. And although there was a great deal of discussion on those requirements in House Bill 1128, at the end of the day, the end of the session, there is no change in what those compensation requirements are. So, Tammy, could I ask you or one of the department to, for the benefit of those listening, remind people of what the teacher compensation accountability requirements are that are currently in statute in 1313.73.6.
Sure. Thanks, Terry. And you're correct. The accountabilities themselves did not change. So for the current year, for FY2018, there's no accountability in regard to teacher compensation. Beginning in 2019, the accountability goes back to the school district. Should maintain or be at least the average teacher compensation as was in FY17. And we do have that information posted out to the DOE website under the School Finance Accountability Board webpage showing, under the documents for the meeting. And it would be the item called Review of TC Accountabilities. And so that lists for each district their FY2017 average teacher compensation. It shows an NA for FY18 average teacher compensation as there's no accountability for this current year. And then what the requirement would be for the FY19 average teacher compensation, which is equal to FY17. In addition, I do want the board to be aware that House Bill 1166 did pass during the session, and that does change the process somewhat once it gets to appropriations. As you recall before, once the recommended waivers went to the Joint Committee on Appropriations, that committee would approve or deny the waiver. That language has now been changed to state, for a waiver recommended by the board under this section, the committee may provide any suggested change to the waiver. Not more than 30 days following the receipt of a suggested change from the committee, the board may amend the recommended waiver in accordance with the suggested change and shall resubmit the recommended waiver. The Joint Committee on Appropriations or Interim Committee on Appropriations shall approve, amend, or deny any waiver recommended by the board. So that does add a possible extra step in there if there are some waivers that the Joint Committee on Appropriations or the Interim Committee on Appropriations wants to suggest changes to. We are in the process right now of reviewing the administrative rules for this process to see if we need to make any changes of those. At this time, we're not sure, so we will let the board know in a future date if we think we need to change those.
Okay. Your explanation is exactly where the chair's understanding of this is, so thank you. Any comments, questions, or concerns by the other board members?
Mr. Chair, Jared Larson, may I just ask a question? I just want to make certain that I understood it correctly. What I heard was that our board, the School Finance Accountability Board, sends a waiver, whether it be conditional or outright waiver or whatnot, to Joint Appropriations or Interim Appropriations Committee. They can send it back to us with recommendations for changes, and then we would be required to change that waiver, whether it be conditional or outright, to align to what they want, and then send it back to them for approval. Is that how I understand that?
That's not exactly how I understand it, and Tammy, step in here in a minute after I finish, please. But my understanding is that they can send it back to us, and we will review with their concerns and their recommendations. At that point, we have the opportunity to send a different package back to the committee, or we have the opportunity to stand on our own package. And I believe that they still have the autonomy afterwards to make a final ruling. Tammy, did I get that correctly?
Terry, that's correct. The language is permissive. It says the board may amend the recommended waiver in accordance with suggested changes, and then shall resubmit the recommended waiver, and then that the committee appropriations shall then approve, amend, or deny any waivers recommended by the board. So you're correct. It's permissive as to whether the board has to make those changes, but it does go back then to appropriations.
So I'll give you just a little bit of history from the process at the legislature this year. I was asked to come up and visit with committee people that were working on that, and it was going forward with the appropriations committee or interim committee, whichever one, to have the authority, and then it was amended to cause a pause and have it go back to the board, to our board, which had done all of the initial work, so that they didn't have to make a rapid change if they had a concern. They gave themselves the option of sending it back for review. Tammy, am I accurate on that?
Yes, that's the way I understand it.
Mr. Larson, you okay with that?
Yes, thank you for the clarification. I just perfectly clear. Thank you.
Okay.
This is Eric, I have a comment too. You know, originally I kind of assumed that's the way this was going to work anyway, but I think if it had been that way this year, they'd have spent a whole day debating things, and in the end maybe wouldn't have changed anything. So I don't know. Hopefully they didn't open up a can of worms for themselves as to a big fight when it gets there about changes. But like I say, originally I kind of assumed this is the way it was going to work anyway, so we'll see how it goes.
Thank you, Eric. Any other board member? Okay. Hearing none, I appreciate all of the explanations on the future teacher compensation. I think you're doing a wonderful job of getting the information out to schools. I've had at least one board member state that they want to make sure that communication out to the schools is adequate on this. I like the explanations you've given. Jared, I'm going back to you because you'd visited with me prior to the meeting about making sure schools were receiving enough information. Are you comfortable with what's been explained here?
Yes, I am. Thank you, President Nevelsek. I would just hope that we make certain and communicate that teacher accountability for FY19 directly to schools so they know exactly what their accountabilities are. I think the department has put together a nice document. And, again, I just wanted to make certain that we were communicating that very clearly and concisely to districts so they know exactly what the accountabilities are, both for teacher compensation and for cash balance. So, yes, I'm very comfortable. The fact that there wasn't change in the teacher compensation accountability expectations for 2019, I think, will helps with the clarity point regarding the average having to be better than FY 2017 or equal to or better than FY 17. So, yes, thank you for the opportunity to speak to that, but I think that these documents clearly communicate the expectations. So thank you.
Okay. Very good. I'm assuming there's no action required of us, so I'm ready to move to item number 6, which is review of the monthly cash ballot limits and the penalties for FY 2019. I would note to those that are listening that this is probably the most important work of the day so that we do not have misunderstandings on how things go together in the coming months. So I turn it back over to the department to review that for us.
Mr. Chair, this is Susan Woodmansey again, and you're correct. We focused that there was two responsibilities of this board regarding teacher compensation, waivers on that, and also for the cash, the monthly cash balance limits. And so in the first year, you concentrated on teacher compensation, and in the second year, we get to take up the work on monthly cash balance limits. So the first item, to make everybody aware, review the information. There was a document on the website, applicable cash balance statutes. I wanted to make you aware of the limits, the percentages based upon student counts for school districts. And so there are two statutes that are listed on that document. The definitions of and the percentages, the general fund base percentage of 40% for school districts of 200 or less, 30% for school districts with a state aid fall enrollment of more than 200 but less than 600, and 25% for a school district with a fall enrollment greater than 600. And then there is the actual calculation where it shows that the amount by which you may exceed your allowable cash balance is a reduction in your state aid. Obviously, you need to receive state aid in order to have a reduction. And so there may be instances where a school district, it's not applicable because they do not receive state aid, or the amount is greater than the state aid that they received. And so we would only be able to recover that amount of state aid unless waived by this board. And so that information, again, is on that applicable cash balance statutes, just to review what we're looking at regarding monthly cash balances. Is there any questions on those?
Mr. Board Chair, Jared Larson.
Oh.
Susan, can you clarify? I just want to make certain when we talk, when you say monthly cash balance, the only fund that's included within that is general fund. Am I correct in that statement, or are there additional funds that are included in the monthly cash balance that will be evaluated?
School districts submit, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Mr. Larson, there are the data is submitted for multiple funds. However, it's only the general fund that is used or analyzed for the purposes of determining an excess of monthly cash balance.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Susan from the committee? The compliance, Susan, we visited the other day, and I know some of it will be a repeat of what you just said, but the FY19 compliance has to do with meeting the standards this April in the FY18. Am I saying that correctly?
Mr. Chair, yes, you're stating that correctly. The statute indicates that the penalty calculations begin with the FY19 or the 18-19 school year. However, the data that needs to be used to determine if there's a penalty or the district has an excess of cash, monthly cash balances, has to come from the prior year, which is the current school year. So school districts will be submitting on their annual report at the conclusion of this fiscal year their monthly cash balances, and then that information will be used to determine if they're in excess.
Very good. And obviously, if we have schools listening and they have any questions, they're certainly welcome to call the department, and they can walk through that with them. Is that a safe statement?
Yes. Our office does a number of conferences and calls with school business officials, and we certainly intend to make sure that they're well aware of this requirement.
Very good. I know that it's a major topic coming up in the at the State Business Managers Conference, because I've asked to be there, and hopefully folks from the department will be there as well. Okay. Anything else from the department on item 6 with the review of cash balance and the penalties before I turn it over to the board for questions?
No, I have no further information.
Okay. Board members, any questions on item 6 for the department? or for discussion by the board?
I don't have any questions. This is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. But Susan, you have a worksheet out there, a spreadsheet out there right now of how we ended up with our cash balances for FY17. I think every business managers may know that's out there on your website. So,
Mr. Chair,
they can look at that, you know, and to see how it works.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, yes, Susan, we have since the legislation passed, we have been providing each school district with the information that they submitted and showing them which month has been their lowest month and what their percentage would have been in that year, so that they can prepare and begin to look at their cash flows and that type of thing. So, and we have been talking about it with school business officials since the passage of the legislation, helping them to prepare and analyze what, you know, their financial information to make sure they're aware of these penalties should they be applied.
Okay. Anything else? Now, 7 and 8 kind of interweave because it's all issues of cash balance. So, Susan, you want to continue with the waiver form, or have you covered that adequately? I'm just looking at my agenda and making sure that I follow it.
Yes, that would be great. Now, item number 7 is the cash balance waiver form. This board last fall or last summer they approved a cash balance waiver form at the same time that they approved the teacher compensation waiver form. We have lost the two individuals that were kind of involved in the development of that form and the process that they outlined. And so as we kind of took it over, we wanted to change it up just a bit. The major components of the calculation or the form are the same. We are just going to do it somewhat like the teacher accountabilities worksheets that we posted on our website. Districts can choose their district, and we will then pre-populate the information that we have next fall as far as their lowest monthly cash balance and their total general fund expenditures. On the list of documents for this meeting, I have the general fund. It says example of the new cash balance waiver form. And I contacted Susan Profrock in the Belfouche School District, and she very generously allowed me to use her school district as an example. This new worksheet, again, is trying to show the district what their cash balances are based upon the prior two-year fall enrollment. And then, of course, we'll need to wait until we have the fall enrollment from 18 to pre-fill in there. But they'll get an idea of how this works. Our process as we're outlining is that school districts will submit on the annual report all of the information that we need. We will also complete the state aid fall enrollment verification next fall. Once we have all of those data items, then we will post this worksheet to our website for school districts to use should they be in excess. Of course, we will always contact the school districts that we believe are in excess to make sure that they're aware that the waiver form is there and that they could use that if they wish. But the form allows for a school district to submit. It will calculate the amount exceeding their allowable percentage. They can ask to waive either the full amount or a portion of that amount, and then provide the reasons for that request. And that will be submitted back to our office and then provided to this board for their review.
Right. Okay. Thank you. That's really sort of given the timeline on number 9 as well.
Yeah.
Anything to add to 9 before I open it up to the board for questions? Because 8 and 9 are certainly interconnected. Or excuse me, 7 and 8. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So we've covered the waiver form and the
yes.
timeline. Is there anything else on that?
Well, I did want to bring make the board members aware of the timeline and the availability of data. Obviously, it's a very short timeline because we don't finish up the verification of the state aid fall enrollment until the end of October. We're also not finalizing all of the financial information from our school districts until mid-October. And both of those items are needed to determine whether a school district is in excess. Obviously, that last student count will only improve, it can only improve their percentage, but we do need the total general fund expenditures and their lowest month cashly balance, and we need to wait for school districts to finalize that data. So I've kind of tried to, on the availability of that data, is outline that summer school districts are submitting the data. The financial data has to be submitted by August 30th. Then our office needs to review the data and make sure it is clean and we have all of our questions answered. And then we re-release the information back to our school districts to finalize, because there could have been changes made through our office over the period of after their submission. So by November 2nd is our estimated timeline that we'll have all the information that we can pull together and post that worksheet that we just went over previously on our website for school districts to have the same information that we have regarding the calculation of an excess fund cash balance. Cash balance, not fund balance, cash balance. And so in early November, I'm assuming this board will meet to review that information. Thanksgiving, thankfully, is a little bit early in 2018, leaves us another week after that to maybe approve a report for the joint committees and then the Joint Committee on Appropriation. If we follow the same timeline that we did with teacher compensation, we'll meet in early December to review those recommendations.
I'm still writing notes. That was well stated. If I could just write as clearly as you spoke it, I'm going to be in great shape here.
It is on the website, that timeline availability of cash balance data.
Real good. Committee, do you have any questions for Susan?
Yeah, this is Eric. Do we have any feel as to how many schools are going to have a problem meeting this accountability, or no idea?
Well, Mr. Chair, it is hard to know because school districts have been preparing for this. Obviously, our office has been talking with school business officials since the passage of the legislation. They're making preparations. We've looked at the last year. And there were several, but I know that those school business managers are aware and they're working on making the proper adjustments to bring their cash balances in line, or they've already made the decision that they will accept the penalty, because we do have a couple of school districts receiving fairly small amounts of state aid with high fund cash balances, and they've already told me that they will elect to just take the penalty. And so they would not be submitting a waiver.
Eric, any other questions?
No, that kind of answers my question.
Any other board members? Anything else from anyone? Go ahead.
Mr. Board Chair, Jared Larson. Mm-hmm. Can I ask a couple of questions, please? First one is regarding... we're still talking agenda item 7, correct? And it kind of just flowed into 8. Is that accurate, Mr. Chair?
That's correct. I think that any questions that you have on cash balance, items 6, 7, and 8 are open for discussion.
Okay, perfect. I really like the revised cash balance document that that DOE has put out flows really nicely. The only item I would note is down in the box in the bottom where it talks to what we may consider due to special circumstances. There's an extra space between an N and an E in the word explained in item 4. And then my other question would be, does the change to the form in and of itself require action from this board? I'm trying to remember if we actually voted and approved the waiver request document. And maybe Tammy is the best person to answer that question. I just didn't know if this needed action from the board was one other question I had.
Mr. Chair, okay, so it probably would be a good idea for the board to approve this new form. It is the same data that was in the other one. It's just rearranged so it flows a little bit better, and then it will also be available in an Excel document for school districts. But just to be on the safe side, if the board would approve it, that would probably be a good idea with those corrections.
Go ahead.
So moved, Weber.
Okay.
Second, Stroder.
Thank you to both. Any comments or questions or concerns by board members before we vote on approval of the waiver form?
Mr. Board Chair, Jared Larson.
Oh, please.
My only question was, is I noted on the original form, there was some School Finance Accountability Board action, approval date, denial date, and then some other stuff with Appropriations Committee at the bottom of the form. I didn't know if, and I would defer to DOE to provide comment, that this form doesn't include that that information. So for tracking purposes, I didn't know if it was necessary, but I just thought I would ask that question. Seemed appropriate at this time.
Okay. Comments from DOE?
Mr. Chair, this is Susan. We did have that same little box on our teacher compensation, and really the action taken by this board was really outlined in your report recommendation to joint committees, and we didn't use it on the teacher compensation, and so I did remove it from this report or this form, waiver form, too.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that feedback. Greatly appreciate it.
Anything else from the board on the motion that's on the table? Hearing none, I'll call for a roll call vote. Mr. Weber?
Yes.
Ms. Profond?
Yes.
Mr. Larson?
Yes.
Mr. Stroder?
Yes.
And I'll approve, so 5-0. Anything else on items 6, 7, and 8 on cash balance from either a board member or from the department? Hearing none. Item 9, status of appointments to the Teacher Compensation Review Board. And this item has not come up since I came on the board late, so I'll turn it over to whoever can help me with it.
Good morning, Tammy Darnall again, and this is an informational item for the board. We just wanted to make you aware, when the funding package passed in Senate Bill 131 in 2016, there's actually a second board that was created. It was the Teacher Compensation Review Board, and this review board, if you look in SDCL 14539, the board shall review teacher compensation, including comparable wage indexes in surrounding states at the completion of every 3 school years. The board will report its findings to the governor and the legislature no later than September 30th, 2018, and by September 30th in every third year afterward. Well, as you know, we're coming upon September 30th, 2018. Oh, in addition, the initial appointment of the members to the board shall be made no later than March 1, 2018. So we just wanted to make the board aware that this other board will be meeting over the summer, and to let you know the appointees have been made from the House of Representatives. We have Representative Holmes, Representative Lust, and Representative Bartling. From the Senate, we have Senator Boland, Senator Solholt, and Senator Heinert. And then the governor's appointees are Becky Guffin, Don Kierkegaard, and Tony Van Huysen. And so we are working on getting together that the first meeting of the board to find out exactly what information they would like to review, and then we'll meet again to review information and recommendations from there.
Excellent. And I look forward to see what that data does, and also will they have information on next year's average salaries in the third year, or will it be a review of what's happened in the past?
It will mostly be a review of what happened in the past.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any questions, concerns, or follow-up from board members? Okay. Hearing none, I heard that we need a meeting in early November. I'm on item 10 now. Do we need a meeting sooner than that for any reason? Board members or department, I'm listening.
This is Tammy Darnall again, and after we review the Hospital 1166, if we determine that a change will be needed to the administrative rules, we'll let you know. We would need a meeting then.
Okay. So at this time, am I assuming that the work we have to do is to set a November meeting?
That is correct.
Okay. And so I'm pulling up a calendar. And hopefully we can set it. Do we have a corresponding date to a meeting last year that fits? Might that even be a fair question for people?
This is Tammy. Terry. The meeting last year would have been held November 16th and 17th. That would be a similar meeting to this.
Okay. And so... Is that all right? That's a week before Thanksgiving, or would
we'd want to do it the 15th, 16th, because the 17th is a Saturday this year.
Right. I'm with you, Mr. Weber. Does it look like it'll be 2 days? Of course, we won't know until we know how many are applying for waivers, correct?
Correct.
And are people comfortable with the 15th, 16th, or should it be earlier in November? Just by what I heard.
This is Tammy. I think the 15th and 16th would be okay. That will give those school districts. And remember, this year it will just be the cash balance penalty waivers, but that will give them a couple of weeks to get those waivers completed and submitted.
Very good. And I am going to ask for a motion to set. Do I have to have a point of clarification? Do I need a motion in order to set dates, or does the chair request the dates? Does anybody have protocol opinions on that?
This is Tammy again, and no, you don't need a motion to set the date.
All right. Then I am asking if there's any objections to consensus that the chair set the dates for November 15th and 16th of 2018 in Pierre. Hearing no objection, that will be the future meeting dates. Board members, I've concluded the agenda, and is there anything that has been missed or any concerns or corrections from board members at this time? Hearing none, Department of Education, are you satisfied with the work that we've done, or do you have any concerns or questions before I call for adjournment?
This is Tammy, and no, we have no concerns or questions.
Okay, thank you. Board, I enjoy working with each of you, and I'd ask for someone to call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Weber.
Second, Larson.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn this meeting. We'll have a roll call vote. Starting with Ms. Profa?
Yes.
Mr. Weber?
Yes.
Mr. Schroeder?
Yes.
Dr. Larson?
Yes.
And the chair agrees. By a vote of 5-0, this meeting is adjourned, and I thank everyone for participating.